Cool. All right, you lot? I was really spun out when I was asked. Seems like only last week that I was asked to speak in front of the church. And I was like, yeah, cool, speak in front of the church. You know, be part of the gang and so on. And I'm like, oh, God in youth culture. And I thought, yeah, I'm only 21 years old and I look at kids and I think they're all mental. And you walk through the street and they're all wearing big pants and I don't know anything about youths anymore. And I was thinking about my own sort of youth, and at first glance I couldn't remember a lot of God being particularly there in my youth. And I was talking to my mum. I was like, Mum, they've asked me to speak in front of the church about God in youth culture. And my little 13-year-old sister says, I don't think there is any. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a great place to start. So I'm like, well, what do I talk about? I'll talk about a little bit of my journey through youth and where, you know, God tried to be there and where people tried to put him there, and then, you know, where we can sort of find and meet him in the middle, you know. Because going to a Christian high school, you know, Anglican high school, you go to Eucharist every week and it's just awful. You go and everyone has to sit down because most of the kids there are not from a Christian background. And so when you introduce to them all the ritual and all the pomp and ceremony, the big stole, and, you know, only the kids who've had First Communion can go up and take communion, it's all really bizarre, and it's really, you know, it's just such a difficult approach for these kids to, you know, come. And, you know, they don't force it on you, but they can't help being forced when, you know, it's just all rules. You know, it's just really funny, you know, because coming from growing up in the church, you know, I could take little bits out of the service, but you talk to the other kids about it and they just hate it. It was all rules and very few people found a connection, because then they all arc up and you go, oh, I don't believe in that. And, you know, you end up with this real sort of conflict. So, you know, I and a lot of the other people around me, we were not getting a lot out of this Eucharist at school. And then someone was like, well, hey, come to youth group. I'm like, okay, what's youth group? And they're like, oh, there's rock bands, you know, skateboarding. I'm like, sounds cool. So I went to one of these, in Bunbury, one of these, you know, like New Age youth groups, and it was awesome. There was rock bands and skateboarding, heaps of girls there, and they, and it's this really funny thing. They work on these soaring emotions. You rock up, and you know, all the youth leaders are there, and they all give you hugs, and you know, it's all, hey, welcome aboard, and what do you do, and you know, that's cool, man, let's hang out, and it's this really, you know, like big bravado entry, and then you go in, and you know. The drummer's in a box, and there's lights, and there's, you know, massive rock concert. Like, I've been trying to play in original bands for years, and I don't get anything nearly as good as what these youth group bands get. It's huge, and they play this awesome concert, and right after they play, you know, the hugest number, then the preacher comes on, the youth preacher, and he comes and he does the generic teary testimony, which, you know, is so vague and so general but so emotive that everyone cries. And, you know, and then you have the opportunity, it turns into a revival, then you have the opportunity to choose to follow Jesus and have him as your saviour, and, you know, and you're so swept up and you're like, yes, you know, bring that on. You know, because you come from, you know, even growing up in church, you come from a point where you're old enough to start thinking for yourself, you know. And so the first thing you can do is you can go, well, hey, I cannot believe in that, you know. And like, and the beauty of my upbringing here with my family is, you know, you grow up going to church and you get to about 11, you're like, yeah, I don't believe that. And everyone's like, that's cool. That's fine, you know. And that was the best thing was, you know, this this free thinkingness about it. So I'd come from this time of being like, well, I don't need that. And then, you know, this amazing, you know, experience at this, you know, youth event, you know, you go up and you and then, you know, they'll just give you cuddles and take down your name and details, and they'll call you next week. And then you go back and watch the band some more. And yeah, hanging out at youth group was great, because, you know, it meant that mum could, you know, drop me off somewhere on Saturday night and I could be out until 3 a.m. because, you know, all we were doing was just drinking soft drink and skateboarding. And, you know, it was wonderfully harmless, and bless them, that tried to, you know, impart some sort of wisdom and, you know, morals and stuff, but it was always funny whenever anyone actually started dealing with something, suddenly everything went weird. And you're like, you know, Wesley was talking about drugs last week and he's not here this week. You know, like, it's, and that was the thing, though. It was this, they were great at telling you what you should do, but as soon as you had to deal with something, or you had done something, or you got stuck in this situation, the people being thrown out of the youth group left, right and centre, absolutely ostracised. It was so... Yeah, it was really, really bizarre how, you know, heartless this group of big, warm people could be. Eventually I just left, and, you know, they give you a call after a couple of weeks, like, hey man, you haven't been along lately. I'm like, yeah, and no, I just haven't had time. And, you know, they call you again, and then I've heard some people say sometimes they come around to your house and be like, hey man, how come you haven't become a youth group? And eventually I just sort of, you know, pushed myself away from that, because it was funny. It was a great medium to kind of get people in and get them on site, but they had no sort of ability to back it up, you know. And yeah, I've met a lot of people who've been really burnt by these young Christian movements. So I'm like, okay, well, there's church and youth group, and you know, if kids either throw it out or they join these youth groups, which everyone else thinks is crazy, and sooner or later they end up thinking they're crazy as well. So I'm trying to think, well, where else was God in my youth? And, you know, then I get to the bit, you know, after the youth group, and once I started, you get to the sort of late high school / post-high school bit, and it was... You know, I've just kind of got to the end of that stage in my life now, and just going like, "Whoa, dodge that bullet!" It was really scary. And you know, between, I don't know, the people I met and the people I sort of associated with, you know, I, you know, met some people who'd been through some really hard stuff, and you know, I have friends who've gone crazy from taking drugs, and you know, you just want to lock yourself in a room with them and you know, just keep them clean for a month while they go through everything, and you know, give them a big hug and fix them, but you just, you know, there's, I mean, not all of them, but sometimes there's nothing you can do, or nothing I could do. And yeah, it was just sort of, you know, I met some great people, and all these people sort of hell-bent on destroying themselves, but are great people nonetheless. You know, I found great friends with these people, and you know, a lot of them I'm still very, very, very close with. But yeah, it was just... It was thinking about this and talking to Claire the other week. I had another think about these people I've been, you know, friends with and close with in the last 5 years or so. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, no one talks about God and no one talks about religion. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'll say something and they'll be like, what, you're a Christian? I'm like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And they're like, but you're hanging out smoking cigarettes and drinking with us. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still a Christian. And they just go, well, that's so weird, we'll just leave that be. You know, they don't talk about religion, but thinking about it and reflecting on it, I realised that with these people who've, you know, been through sort of the school of hard knocks together, God is in them, you know. Even though, you know, they're not doing it under any umbrella, it's very much in them. A friend of mine, I was always wondering, I'm like, why is Jared, this guy from Texas, like our friend, where does he fit in? And another friend of mine who, you know, was wrestling with his own depression and drug addiction and, you know, no skills to get a proper job, but, you know, getting by as he can, met Jared when he was homeless and said, hey, man, just come and stay with me and I'll... And we'll see if we can find you a job. And, you know, this is this person who's at virtually rock bottom as well and can pick someone else up. And there's been, I've seen so many things like that, you know. So many of the people we mix with, you know, victims of abuse or they're chronically depressed or whatever. And they, you know, although it wasn't the best influence of people to come around, they could come and they could find that community and that support network. And that's where I found God in youth, with their ability to feel so strongly. They can love and care so greatly. And yeah, I've seen things. There was a guy who was a very sort of well-valued member of the local music industry who never had a cent, but, you know, he was always playing in punk bands and stuff and all, always came along. And when he passed away, his family didn't have any money for the funeral. And, you know, within a week, there's a benefit show at the Hyde Park Hotel. There's 8 bands on. You know, there's the money for John's funeral. And, you know, these people can just band together through whatever other community brings them together. And the same, there was a girl who she was a well-liked Perth musician. She'd moved over to Melbourne and she got bowel cancer, and we well not we but the music scene, they again within a week, massive show organised, benefit show. We had, I think there was 14 bands on, and they raised enough money to pay her rent for the course of her treatment and, you know, sort of feed her and pay a bunch of medical bills and stuff. The fact that these people can just pull this stuff out of nowhere, and it's, you know, it's all the stuff that we talk about being good, basic Christian values. And these people didn't read it in a book. They didn't hear the story of the prodigal son and go, yeah, you know, I'm going to go out and do some forgiveness this week. They just did it. And yeah, that's, to me, that's the beauty of this thing, is that with, you know, aside from, you know, the harm that people have done under the umbrella of any given religion, and the fact that it scares some people, that aside from all that, God can come into these people, or what, you know, what we would like to think God is, can come through these people without them. Yeah, with no motivation other than these people care and think they should. And that's what gives me faith in people and in God. I don't know, as to how that relates to, I don't know, you were asking me, you know, how does my faith coming to that, coming here and becoming a member. And I've always been here. You know, I never left. I just haven't had time to be here on Sunday mornings. And yeah, when Claire said, "Do you want to be a member?" I'm like, "What?" You know, I always have been a member, I thought. But yeah, I guess that's what I see, is that a lot of people don't respond well, and you know, we all know that, you know, people spun out by the fact that you're a Christian, "Oh, I don't believe any of that stuff, man," you know, all the stories and the priest and that kind of thing. And you know, but yeah, with kids so scared and sometimes so angry at religion, or any people, you know, you still can choose to, and some people still just end up, you know, living and doing what we'd all like to do. Oh, was that even 25 minutes?
Stop when you're ready.
Cool.
Stay there.
Yeah? I think so.
Thank you. Thank you. We have some time, so for conversation. So you might have questions of Reuben. You might like to share a thought, ask a question. And I'd encourage other younger people to share your thoughts about God and youth culture too, so we have a conversation together. What one thing as you think about that struck me as you were talking, seriously, Reuben, is I think we find it really difficult to take ourselves back before organised Christianity, back to Jesus' Gospels. And as you were talking about your experience of people caring, what brought me to mind, if you actually look at what Jesus did, you know, he came across the woman at the well. He hung out with the prostitutes. He didn't start with telling them anything. He started with acknowledging them for what they were doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So, yeah, so that's what it sounded like, an awful lot about discovering where God's already showing up. Who would like to comment, share?
I don't know the name of the school. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I guess affirming from the sort of staff here, I suppose, is that, you know,
yeah, I
can't understand what it's all. I just haven't had a job for you. But
yeah, it's but the biggest thing that throws me is the singing hymns in Eucharist, because these are kids who, you know, have probably never sung before, you know, they're not used to, you know, the church thing as well, and then they've got to sing these songs about God, and you know, you're supposed to sing it together, and there's this embarrassment of, you know, well, I'm not one of those Christians, and I'm certainly not one of those soft singing types. So everyone, you got to try and murmur quieter than the person next to you. And it's just awful. Yeah, there's this huge, the fantastic cathedral full to the brim of people. Going, and not only does it not help the people who are not getting it, but it sort of spoils it for the people who might get something out of that sort of thing as well.
Both our children are very Christian schools, and one of the things that Hugh used to do was he would throw in our face, "Oh, you're sending me to a church school and I don't believe in God." That's what you're supposed to be doing at this age. I mean, that's what being an adolescent is all about, isn't it? It's about questioning everything. Mm. And, but from a personal perspective, at least I know he's safe at school.
that there is a message, even if it's, if he's choosing not to listen to it, it's there if he chooses to at some stage. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's his job as a teenager to rebel and to question everything.
Yeah. Good on him.
He has excelled in that. As far as I'm concerned, when he turns around and says, you know, you said spending all this money, sending me to a church school and I don't even know where I'm going, I go, well, thank you. That's life.
Really good question. Has there been any sustained time when you felt like you didn't believe God? Or have you always had that?
There has been a period of a very, very long time, perhaps even still now, where I haven't exactly been sure of God. You know, I've not walked with him over my shoulder. I can't go, oh dear, you know, and grab his hand or anything. But I know too many people who I value enough who believe so strongly that I can't doubt them. So I can't commit to not believing. I can't find enough doubt in me, but I haven't got a hold of him right there. Well, I think, you know, I found myself doing it lately, which is a couple of times I've talked to people and I've said, hey, you should just come and check out our church sometime. And people go, well, really? I'm like, no, just come and check it out, because they're people who I'm talking to philosophically about, you know, a whole bunch of other things that we share, but they just haven't got the grounding from God. And I think exactly the way to do it, exactly sounds a bit definite, but I think it's definitely about, you know, giving them the hand the first, and that kindness and acceptance and nurturing, you know, like letting Hugh rebel and still being there. There's a fantastic time when I was about 16, 17, about year 12 age. And of course, instead of studying, I had this girlfriend who I was completely wrapped in, and Mum thought she was mental. And turned out she was. Yeah, and you know, Mum never said I was right, but you know, she did try and say, "Well, now that that's over, can you focus on your study?" And I, you know, and I was wrecked. And this fantastic time, I had this massive fight with my mum, slammed doors, you know, ran off, and I just walked off, and I just, you know, went for a walk, and I went to a friend's house, sort of family friends, and I just went there. And they took me in and, you know, gave me a cup of tea and stuff and just sort of took care of me. And I was there for about 3 days and nothing was said. And after about 3 days, I thought, I should probably go home. And I went home and Mum didn't say anything either. And it was just, you know, I had kind of, by that stage, I had cooled off and I knew what had happened. But just the fact that they had let me and nurtured me and kind of been there when I needed them and just let me through. And I think that's the kind of, yeah, the kind of nurture towards rather than sort of be like, this book I think you should read that'll really make you change your mind on stuff. And people do that too with all kinds of stuff. Oh man, I just read this book. You should read this book. Oh, I don't want to read your book.
Couple more, and then we can continue up
the morning. Well, just on the subject of believing and the book, talking about, I went into Angus and Robertson the other day, and of course, you all know they're closing down, and the non franchise stores have fictional books off. For 40% and non-fiction 60%. So I bought Josh, my son, my first Bible, right?
Yep.
Up to the counter, and she was going to charge me at the rabbit group and the fictional. I'm getting a discount of the fictional. I wanted 60%, obviously. I said it's non-fiction. Had a little bit of an argument, and I could see the people behind me lining up, having a bit of a chuckle, you know. I got the 60%.
Can I just check, are there any other younger people who would like to comment for you before I do it?
And I'll be the arbiter of younger.
Just maybe have a comment about, since I didn't go to a Christian school or to a government school, I think you can definitely see signs of a lot of inquisitiveness in youth asking questions, where I think most youth would call themselves agnostic nowadays, rather than atheist or Christian. Even people that come from Christian backgrounds probably prefer that term, because it certainly seems a ridiculous concept of the young. I think that there's a lot of facilities in place that kind of try and nurture that, but there's not really any that kind of change that title from agnostic to Christian. But I think that as a community, there are a lot of good ways that youth are being kind of nurtured out there.
Thanks, any other younger people? I'm going to do young people in all of them. But I will let you comment. Not when you're a child. All right. Couple of hands, let's try and get them quick.
Okay, real quick, thank you. And I think the sadness is if we ever stop rebelling, I hope not to ever. And just quickly, Christian schools assess themselves by worldly standards which are diametrically opposed to the teaching of Christ. So keep rebelling as I do.
They can be good schools.
I'm not saying they're not. And people can probably have a go at it.
I'm going to explain to the socialists who develop conscientious objects in all parts. My belief is the church school used by parents are not prepared to teach children values they think they should learn but they don't practice themselves. So the church school, they don't do that in the youth group, it looks like you go double serve. But these are institutions that are used to carry out functions which I believe you can't substitute a personal relationship for. So the real answer to me is communication. If you can't talk to somebody one-to-one, then what are you going to send them to?
Yeah, on that, I think, of all people, I thank my mum for bringing me up and putting the strength in me to make the decisions I have to get through the stuff I've seen, you know? You know, hanging out with, you know, drug dealers and, you know, just crazy people. I've had the opportunity to do every single thing you hope your child won't do, and I've only done a couple of them. So, I feel that it's, you know, because of, yeah, who I was brought up to be, that I could face those challenges the way I did.
It's really serendipitous how all this comes about. Being a passionate supporter of Christian schools, having come through a Christian school, it's now 36 years since I left that Christian school. And I graduated in 1975, which was right at the end of the Vietnam War, a time when it was really anti-establishment and we all wanted to wear our hair on our shoulders. The school wanted us to wear it, you know, top of our collar. Lots of conflict. And one of the most hated people in the school was a chaplain.
Yes.
His name was Frank Drysdale. And I got an email on Friday from one of my fellow students advising me that he passed away. And basically emailing around to all the students in that year to attend his funeral. And I thought, what an amazing thing that he's left such an impression that 36 years on, we're all getting around to go to his funeral. And at the time, you know, we didn't, you know, have any time for what he had to say. And 36 years on, we're all going to go to his funeral. So I think maybe that says something.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Last one.
Michael's right, I'm not young. And then I was talking to you Sunday school when you were that very teenager. So I just wanted to say, it was absolutely delightful to not actually have Sunday school with a teenager being an agreement club. And for me, it was actually really valuable as a young adult to also be able to explore those ideas with you. And I wanted to support that for
Thank you. The one thought as we close came to me is, you know that I and most of other people are very passionate and into professional coaching. And one of the thing that resonates from this conversation for me is one of the things I always say about coaching is the worst thing you can do is talk about it. The best thing you can do is to experience it. And that's what that's like, really, a relationship. It's be it, let's relate to each other. And let people find their own way, is what I think. Thank you. Very, very much. Cheers.